Well, welcome to our sixth night of our novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Immaculate Heart of Mary, St. Francis de Sales, St. Jane Frances de Chantal, and St. Anthony. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had to pray to St. Anthony because it's his feast day, so I didn't feel right to leave him out. Well, we continue this year's theme of cultivating our interior life, and as we've reflected on how to live our interior life well, we've been gleaning wisdom from the saints. And so tonight, we turn to St. Francis de Sales, focusing on one of his famous works, An Introduction to the Devout Life. For those of you who are not familiar with him, Francis de Sales was born in 1567. He lived his life in France as a priest, a bishop, and a great director of souls. He also founded a religious community with St. Jane Frances de Chantal, who is my patron saint. I actually came to know him through his direction and formation of her. I saw his fatherly heart as he gently but firmly guided her soul to a deep, abiding union with God. So tonight, we turn to him for guidance in the interior life because he guided people from every walk of life, priests, religious, mothers, widows, professionals, workmen, and he guided them well. On the 300th anniversary of the death of Francis de Sales, Pope Pius XI actually said that he had been given to the church for a special task. His task was to uproot a lie that had plagued the church since the Protestant revolt, namely that great holiness is impossible to attain in everyday life, that deep union with God is reserved for a select few special souls. These were the lies that St. Francis spent his life uprooting. He was helping individuals cultivate a life of deep prayer amidst their daily obligations. So you, in your daily life, you are called to a life of contemplative prayer amidst the craziness, amidst the messiness of everything involved in your day-to-day. Your life of prayer is not opposed to your daily obligations. I mean, do you ever feel like that, as if, you know, if I didn't have this to do, or then I could cultivate a life of prayer, or if work wasn't so stressful, or if the children weren't so crazy, or if I weren't so busy, you know, if. But the truth is, the life of prayer to which you are called isn't opposed to your everyday life. Rather, your prayer life is meant to enhance and perfect your ability to fulfill the obligations that God has laid upon you. See, that's the thing about our daily obligations with everything that comes with being in a family, in the home, in the workplace. They're part of God's will for you. Both your life of prayer and your obligations are God's will for you. And so he calls you into union with himself through those things. So now we're going to look at how to cultivate that union with him through the wisdom of Francis de Sales. How did he guide souls to do this amidst their daily life? So first, we'll look at Francis de Sales' focus on the interior life. He was very pointed in his focus on a single thing. And then with that focus, we'll look at three vital practices for cultivating our interior life. Those will be the practical things, some practicals that we can incorporate. And then we'll end with letting Francis de Sales encourage us amidst the trials and the difficulties and just the daily struggle of trying to be faithful. So let's begin with St. Francis de Sales' focus for the interior life. St. Francis de Sales cultivated what he called the spirit of liberty in every soul that he directed. Now, liberty can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, so it's best to start with what we actually mean by liberty. He wrote to St. Jane, "I want you to have the spirit of liberty, not the kind that excludes obedience. This is freedom of the flesh. Rather, the spirit of liberty is the detachment of a Christian heart from all things so that it is free to follow the known will of God. So see, the liberty that we're talking about is not just license to do whatever we want or freedom from obligations. That's not true freedom. Francis de Sales wanted the soul to be free to follow God's will as it was expressed in the person's daily life. He knew that every person must seek God's will. That's the only way to deep union with God. So when he directed people in their life of prayer, he structured their prayer life based on their daily obligations. Because remember, the obligations of your state in life, that's God's will for you. So your life of prayer and seeking union with him, it can't contradict that life of your daily life that God has willed for you. So he didn't expect a wife and a mother to have the same prayer life of a religious sister, or a businessman to have the same life of prayer as a tradesman. I mean, he knew that every person's life of prayer was different, depending on their vocation, their occupation, their personality, their capabilities. I mean, even the time period of a person's life. I imagine the mother with young children has a very different life of prayer than a mother with older children who are grown and out of the home. So he had this freedom with which he moved in guiding a person to a deep life of prayer. He compared Christian souls to plants in a garden that are supposed to bear fruit according to the type of plant that they are. I mean, you don't expect apples to grow on pear trees, okay? Like, it bears fruit according to the plant that it is. So it's the same with people in the spiritual life. You bear fruit in the way particular to your state in life. So your daily obligations as grandparents, parents, nurses, teachers, mechanics, everything, whatever fills your life, they're not opposed to your life of union with God. What is most essential is that this is what Francis de Sales directed people to see, is that you unite yourself with God's will. That's where union lies. Union is in God's will. So it does require our life of prayer. We won't be able to give ourselves to God in love if we don't know him, if we haven't encountered him in the silence of our hearts. But at the same time, your daily obligations are also a means of growing in that union, both your prayer and your obligations. So I saw this play out as he was directing Jane. So for those of you who don't know St. Jane, she was a wife for 9 years. A mother, and her husband was killed in a hunting accident, and then she lived as a widow for a period of years, and then after that, she founded the religious community with Francis, but she was having a hard time during her widowhood. She had this deepening desire to give herself totally to God, but which would culminate in her religious life, her religious vocation, but she still had young children at home. Like, she couldn't leave her children to go enter the convent, okay? So Francis, he's like, you have to learn to love your widowhood. Since those were the circumstances where God placed her, that was her means of growing in union with God. So she had to think of prayer in that way. She couldn't imagine this life of prayer and holiness where it's like, I want to be a sister, I want to give my life totally. He said, no, don't spend your life in your imagination, this future fantasy holiness. Meet God in your daily life, your life as a widow, caring for your children, and find your life of prayer there. So that was always his focus when he was directing souls. He was directing them to obedience to God's will. So as we then move, we're going to move into some practical ways that you can cultivate your interior life. You always have to keep that focus of it's always in harmony with God's will for your daily life. Now, he outlines a lot of things in the introduction to The Devout Life. I don't have like a 3-week time period to tell you about all those things. I would if I could. I love Francis de Sales, but I'm going to focus on 3 things. These are really the most pivotal that he puts forth for our interior life, and those are daily mental prayer, the sacraments, and then cultivating a solitude of heart. So we're going to start with mental prayer, okay? According to Francis de Sales, mental prayer is prayer of the heart. It's the form of prayer he recommends above all others. A form of mental prayer is meditation, and that's what he's outlined in Introduction to the Devout Life, How to Meditate. Now, without fail, whenever I'm talking about my life as a sister with middle schoolers, okay, and I talk about my morning meditation, it happens every time. There's always one boy in the audience where I say, and we make our meditation. And he's like, That's not what we're talking about, okay? That's not the type of meditation we're talking about. It's like middle schoolers, okay. What we're talking about is cultivating that receptive heart that can listen and receive from God and enter into that loving dialogue with him, okay? We give our mind something to ponder, to reflect on, but then it moves us into this loving conversation. So I actually, out front, there were these little papers that have this outline of the form of meditation he outlines. So I'm going to explain the different parts, and I'm also going to use the example of, like, if we were meditating on the crucifixion, just so that you can see it's a very natural way to pray. You'll find that it is. Looking at the outline, sometimes it looks like daunting. So the example will help it look less scary, I think. And you probably have already prayed in ways similar to this before, even if not with a specific outline. Okay, but for the setup, so when we talk about making time for meditation, we need to have content and a place. Okay, so before we even get to actually meditating. So for the content, I mean, really one of the best things to use is scripture. An easy way to have scripture readings every day is just to pick the daily mass readings, but you're not bound by that, obviously. The gospels are probably one of the best places to start, just because that's the life of Christ. And so picking a short passage and then finding a quiet place where you can expect to be uninterrupted for a good chunk of time, probably like a 30-minute chunk of prayer time. I mean, we want a good heart-to-heart conversation. So that can be at home, in an adoration chapel. Now, when you sit down to meditate, the first step is the preparation. Now, this is just short, but you want to focus your mind for the time of prayer, and that always starts with placing yourself in the presence of God. I mean, you can't have a conversation with someone if you aren't even aware that they're present. So it's just a nice way to calm the mind and the heart. You can imagine him present within you. You can imagine Jesus before you. You can just rest in the knowledge that God is with you. Whatever helps your mind focus, you place yourself in the presence of God, and then you begin by asking for the grace that you need to make the meditation well. Okay, it's very short, but to prepare well actually does help decrease a lot of the distractions during prayer. You'll never get rid of distractions during prayer. Everyone gets distracted. It's fine, but at least a good preparation can help decrease those. And then from there, you move to the second portion, the reflection. So this is more of the mental act of meditation, where you would read the passage, you would imagine the scene, and you would begin to ponder and reflect over the mystery, okay? So if our mystery was the crucifixion of Jesus, and maybe we had that gospel before us, we could imagine the scene, like Jesus on the cross, the crowds mocking him. We could imagine his wounds. We could imagine what he looked like, what his words sounded like. What do we hear? Kind of set that image before us. And then we could begin to ponder and reflect the mystery. Like, here is Jesus, and Jesus, you've suffered all of this for me. You've taken on my sins to redeem me. This is your love for me. And then my sins are what really caused this. I mean, just to ponder those mysteries, let your mind reflect on them. Now, again, this is prayer. So at any point, like, if you just, there can be silence, loving conversation. But for the method, you start with those reflections of the mind. And then as you ponder, you'll find that naturally your heart moves to respond. Like, Jesus, you've done this for me. It's like, my heart is then stirred with gratitude. I want to give myself in return to you. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Like, these movements of the heart that stir up, those would be the affections portion of the meditation. So that's step 3, according to Francis de Sales. I mean, the goal of the meditation is to grow in this loving union with God. And so as our heart is moved, it's not just an emotion. Like, I didn't know how to explain affection without making everyone think it was emotions. But really, our gratitude, our love, our good desires, our holy impulses, those are what should be stirring up in our heart in response to what we've been reflecting over. Okay, so if we look back at the crucifixion, okay, so I'm grateful for what he's done for me. Like, that he loved me so much that he gave his life for me, and I want to give myself in love again to him. And even just allowing yourself to rest in that love, that reality, that can be your prayer, okay? It should be very natural to move back and forth between the pondering and then the movements of the heart and this loving conversation. It's really the meat of the meditation. And then ending with, Francis de Sales has us end with a resolution, like very end of your meditation. You don't want your meditation to become like a game plan for the day, but at the end, if you can think of like a practical resolution of how you can live this out during your day. And then a conclusion. In the conclusion, there's the thanksgiving for the meditation, offering yourself, and then interceding for those who might need. And one thing that's, for Francis de Sales, he emphasizes it, is carrying away a spiritual bouquet, where you gather the choice points from the meditation and you carry those with you throughout the day, something to ponder on later. It's like you can inhale their fragrance. Now, this time of meditation, this time of mental prayer, it is a beautiful practice to incorporate into your daily life of prayer. So I really encourage you to consider, like, when could you find 30 minutes in your day, like setting a time of having this daily time of prayer with our Lord. We need daily contact with God in silence. If you can't find 30 minutes at first, start with 20. You know, what it will look like in your daily life will depend upon your vocation and your job, how old your children are. But it's important that we make this time for the Lord. Now, I just want to give a little example of sometimes our obligations ask us to take, God asks us to leave our time of prayer, and I just want you to have that sense of freedom. Again, we work with our daily obligations. So there was, last year I was staying in Rockford, Illinois with one of the sister's families, and I was helping care for her parents who had dementia. I came in as respite care for her siblings, and oh golly, they were so funny. But mom, she was immobile, but dad was very mobile, and you almost wished he wasn't mobile, because like he would get into all sorts of trouble, like open in the cabinets, and everything on the counter was fair game. We had to keep the house locked because he would get outside and get away if we didn't. You couldn't leave him unattended. And so there was one afternoon I had mom settled, dad had just laid down for a nap, and so I went to my room to make my meditation. And 15 minutes in, oh golly, I hear him, and he's up. No! So I jump up, leave my meditation just like that, and when I find him in his bedroom, it was like 3 seconds, but the sheets were off of the bed. He made a mess on the floor. There was food all over him. I don't even know where he got the food. Okay, now, there was no way I could have just stayed, like, I'm making my meditation, Jesus. You know, I can't go see what Mr. Kalei is up to. It's like, no, he couldn't be left unattended. An obligation of charity was asking me to leave my time of prayer. And, like, you have that freedom. So as you seek to live a deeper spiritual life, you need to, again, live with that freedom of what God is asking you to do, okay? I imagine those caring for young children or those caring for elderly, aging parents, ill parents, or caring for anyone, that would happen frequently. But you have to be discerning, obviously, so you can't just make excuses for giving up your times of prayer. But you also need to have that freedom of, as charity dictates, you know, stop dad from making a mess in the bedroom. But okay, so for the sake of time, oh golly, we just don't have any. yeah, meditation took a long time. We almost took 30 minutes for our meditation. So Francis de Sales, he emphasizes the sacraments, and you really can't speak enough on the sacraments. It's the one way that God has revealed to us that we can, like, for sure be in relationship with him, okay? I mean, just think about that. God revealed the way that we are to have a relationship with him, and it's through the sacraments. I really wish I could say more. So the Mass and confession, learning to enter into those. There's so many different books or things that can help you. I'll give one example with the Mass of really uniting your heart to the movements of the Mass. So as we have the penitential rite, encouraging sorrow for your sins, or being receptive to the word in the readings and Father's homily, and as Father's preparing the gifts for the offering, like making your own offering and offering yourself in union with Christ to the Father. I mean, it is the greatest moment of our life where we can offer ourselves perfectly to God in union with Christ. And then in receiving him in the Eucharist, trying to foster that receptive heart. And then for confession, we want to not go mechanically or out of habit, but really try to get to the root of why we are committing the sins that we are. It's the way that God has given to us to find healing and to restore our relationship with him. So to really enter into that mystery and try and use it well. The third thing that St. Francis de Sales emphasizes, and I can actually feel good about cutting this part out of my talk, because the third thing is the solitude of heart, a life of recollection. And Sister Marie Bernadette is going to talk about the practice of the presence of God on Thursday, okay? So really, like, if you're not going to be here on Thursday, at least listen to the talk, because I'll read the quote of how necessary it is. Well, basically, Francis de Sales says, oh, here it is. This habit of spiritual retirement, so finding God within us throughout the day and just taking a moment to be with him throughout our daily obligations, okay, just making that habit of entering into ourselves and being with him, it's the keystone of devotion and can supply the defects of all your other prayers, but nothing else supplies its place. Without it, you cannot follow the contemplative life well, nor the active life without danger. Therefore, I beseech you, cleave steadily to it and never forsake it. Okay? So you have to listen to Sister Marie Bernadette's talk on Thursday to learn how to do that. But it's just being able throughout our day, throughout our occupations, to find God and to be present with him within us. It's how we interweave prayer throughout our whole day. Okay, I will end with some encouragement from Francis de Sales, because that is my favorite part about reading his writings. He's just so fatherly. And, I mean, we've all experienced just the struggle of trying to be good and do what God wants us to do. I mean, you know, you all want to be faithful to his will for you, but then we run up against our imperfections and our weaknesses, and it can become very discouraging. So, he's just so good. He says that ordinary purification and healing, whether of body or soul, are accomplished little by little, progressing slowly and often hardly at all. But we must be patient and courageous. Do not be discouraged by infirmities. Our perfection consists in struggling against them, which we cannot do unless we perceive them. Neither can we conquer them unless we come into collision with them. Victory does not lie in ignoring our infirmities, but in resisting them. So our daily struggles that can become so frustrating, like, I'm still fighting the same weakness after how many years? Or, like, I feel like Father Borkenhagen could tell me my own confession before I even tell him. I mean, it's the same thing every week. But what's important is that we persevere. God sees our efforts, and he's pleased with that, and he uses that. And so as we conclude this evening, I want you to consider one thing that you can change in your daily life in order to make more room for God. So maybe it is thinking about a time of daily meditation or reflecting on how you have been taking advantage of the sacraments or ways that you can do that better. Or maybe times during your day you can retreat into the solitude of your heart to be with God. Choose one concrete action, because we can't change everything at once, but if we're consistent in making small changes throughout our life, then it makes a huge difference, and that's really how we grow. And so we'll end with his words. Francis de Sales says, "Let us then make our little steps forward. If we have good and resolute affection, we cannot but advance well. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Amen. Okay.